This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Katie on Katie's Cut Lunch here at Joy 94.9, and I would love to welcome to the studio right now two very special guests from Portugal here in town for the Melbourne International Film Festival. Now, I'm going to attempt to pronounce your names properly. João Pedro Rodrigues and João Rui Guerra da Mata.
Very well.
Welcome to Joy. You've told me that I can call you Pedro and D'Amato, which is lovely. So, your film is called The Last Time I Saw Macau, and I watched it in the last couple of days, and it's an intriguing blend of sort of documentary, sort of film noir, sort of... it's a really atmospheric film about old Macau, new Macau. So can you tell us a little bit, for people that haven't seen it, what it's about? I mean, I know that's hard to do, but...
Do you want to start? No, please do.
If you could get quite close to the microphone.
Okay.
That's good.
It's fine. Well, the film, I think it was... João, that's why I wanted you to start. João, who lived in Macau when he was a child.
Yep.
And he always he always told me stories about his childhood in Macau. Mm-hmm. So the film started as a kind of a documentary. That's mm-hmm. why there's still some documentary in it. A documentary, but about memories.
Yeah.
His memories, his childhood memories, which are fictions,
yep.
because you make up your
memories
own childhood,
and
all memories are fictions in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And the memories I had of a place where I had never been,
mm-hmm.
because I had never been to Macau prior to the shooting of
okay.
this film. But in a way, I knew Macau through João Rui's stories and through cinema.
Okay.
So through
Macau being a former Portuguese colony,
right?
How is Macau looked on now in Portugal? Is it
basically? It's I suppose people back in Portugal look at it as an exotic place,
mm-hmm.
and also a place they really want to go and work because
okay.
yeah, because basically due to the huge European crisis and
yes.
especially the Portuguese crisis,
yes.
I mean, salaries in Macau are really high.
Okay.
You don't pay taxes, so people do want to fly there and work.
Yeah.
It's kind of an El Dorado.
It is.
Okay. And we had an expression in Portugal, which is tree of patacas. Patacas is the currency in Macau.
Mm-hmm.
So in Macau was like the tree of the patacas, the tree of
the money
currency.
The money tree.
Yeah. I worked and lived in the South Pacific for a few years in New Caledonia, which is a French territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the French also look on New Caledonia in a similar way, in that it's paradise and they earn really good money there. And yeah, it's interesting.
It's really difficult to migrate to Macau now.
Because
okay. they are actually closing borders.
Right, because it's under the control of China now,
exactly.
of course. For most Westerners, I think if we think of Macau at all, we'll think of the sort of Las Vegas of Asia.
It is, completely.
All those huge casinos there now, and people go there as tourists, and that may be all they see, that glittery sort of facade. But your film really takes people behind all that into the real city and where real... obviously real people live. And I found it fascinating to see all those the back streets and the old sort of ruined places almost that were old colonial architecture that are falling apart a little bit now.
Macau is UNESCO's heritage site.
Yep.
But only the central part.
Okay.
So they have designed these... itinerary for tourists.
I see. Yeah,
and that's what I mean. People, especially, I mean, people visit Hong Kong and then they go on a day trip to Macau, I suppose, yes. unless yeah. they're gamblers, and therefore then they'll yeah. they'll go to Macau to gamble. But so basically they have like this itinerary, and that's what people see.
Yeah.
We wanted, as you said, we yeah. wanted to show these other Macau,
yeah.
like the back alleys.
Yeah.
The like darker
yeah.
side, not darker in help me here. A darker, like without light,
yeah.
side of Macau.
Yeah,
because that was also as the film film noir and a thriller was always in our mind. Even if we wanted to make a documentary for the, yeah. in the start, there were some films, especially Hollywood films, that were in our mind all the time we were there. And there's this kind of atmospheres we found more in the back alleys, in
yeah.
in these places that are more or less abandoned or where few people go.
Yeah. We often forget with tourist cities such as Macau that real people actually live there, and there's a whole sort of beating heart of a city behind all that glitz and glamour. I went to Las Vegas a couple of years ago, and it's the same thing there. I tried to get out of the strip and to see the places where real people live and shop and work. Mm. And I think your film is a wonderful look at that, as well as beautiful images of the old buildings, the colonial buildings.
We always had. There's a film that was. That was made in Hollywood in 1951 mm-hmm. called Macau
yep.
by Joseph von Sternberg mm-hmm. With Jane Russell.
Yes.
And we had that film always in our mind.
Yeah.
That's why our superstar actress, Cindy Scratch, mm-hmm. that plays Candy
yes.
in our film, that's why she sings You Kill Me, which is a song from Macau,
yep.
sung by Jane Russell.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's at the beginning of the film. It's a full routine with Candy in her finery, and behind her there's a cage full of tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely fascinating to look at. And other than that, you never see Candy again in the movie.
No, I mean, we decided to show Candy first because we wanted to work with Cindy.
Yeah.
Cindy had done...
She had played in my previous film, mm-hmm. which is called To Die Like a Man. That
okay.
is about the transgendered character.
Yep.
And she played a small role, but we've always found that she has like this kind of a aura and superstar
yes.
quality that I thought I didn't get in my previous film. So
okay.
I wanted to give her space in a film.
Yeah.
I really love her, and
yes.
she's a big friend of a dear friend of João Rui since
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. And she's got like these lost Hollywood area.
Yes, indeed.
This, like late 40s, yeah. 50s.
I felt the ghost of Jane Russell very strongly.
Yeah,
but also, I suppose...
That's a good...
Yeah, it is. But also some like Andy Warhol's superstar. And that's probably...
Yeah.
That's the reason why when my character answered the phone, he says, Candy Darling, as in Candy Darling of
yes,
Andy Warhol.
Of course.
But also some of the bigger-than-life stars in Fassbinder films mm-hmm. in the 70s, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's someone really special
yes.
for us.
And we thought that, like, that first sequence, you see, in the beginning, you just see this woman's feet
mm-hmm.
with in high heels.
Yep.
And then you just see her from the back. And so you think it's a woman that's going
yeah.
to play. And then she turns and it's not really
yeah.
a woman.
Yeah.
So we always thought the film had also this kind of transgender quality.
Indeed.
Which
mm-hmm.
means that it goes goes from one genre or transgenre quality.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from one genre to the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's film noir,
yep.
it's a thriller, it's sci-fi, it's still a documentary.
Yeah.
It's also an essay about memory.
Yep.
It's a travelogue. And we wanted a film that was could go from one category to another.
Mm-hmm.
We were not very worried if it was it was kind of not pure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in one direction. We wanted to make a film that didn't just go in one direction.
I certainly have never seen anything like it. I'm talking to João Pedro Rodrigues and João Ruigera da Mata, the directors of The Last Time I Saw Macau, a film from the International Film Festival currently on in town. I'm sure that some of the listeners have been enjoying the festival. It's a very popular festival here in Melbourne. I hope you've both been having a good time.
Oh, we're very happy. It's our first time in Australia. Yeah. So it's like we were so thrilled to finally come here, and because it's also interesting to have the feedback from other audiences around the world. And we've been traveling with this film since almost a year ago, because it opened in Locarno last year, which was August 2012. Mm. And we've been doing, I don't know, the Tour du Monde. this is more or less our last stop.
Okay.
And it's not really,
because it's going to be commercially released in the States. And so
in September,
so that will be
that's a long time to be promoting a film.
It is, but it's really pleasurable, and it's also as you can imagine, in Portugal we make a very small amount of films each year, and not all films travel.
Yeah,
and we feel that we have to be with the film. In order to promote it, because we don't have the means of a Hollywood cinema that has, I don't know, millions or whatever.
Yeah.
So we have to do it ourselves, but it's also a pleasure for us.
No, I think it's really good to go to. I mean, film festivals are really important.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there are so many films that are only shown in film festivals. Indeed. If you think about it, and then if you have the film and if you have the directors. And you can actually ask them questions and hear what they have to say about what they've done.
Yeah, you get a whole new insight.
That is a bonus, I suppose.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about animals in the movie, because there are so many shots of animals and birds, especially, well, birds play a bit of a key role, and there are tigers. It's the year of the tiger, is that right?
It was, yes.
So there are lots of sort of fake tigers around as part of the celebrations in Macau, but we also see the real tigers at the beginning with Candy. But there are lots and lots of stray dogs and cats and just all kinds of wildlife. What was your aim in showing this against the backdrop of this incredibly built-up city with, again, another thing that struck me was the amount of building going on. Amazing.
It's mad.
Mad, yes. Yeah. I believe Macau is the most densely populated part of the world.
It is, yes. And I mean, I hadn't been to Macau for 30 years. Mm.
30 years.
Wow. I mean, I did spend my entire childhood in Macau. I was born in Mozambique, but then I spent my childhood in Macau. And I hadn't been to Macau in 30 years. And actually, Macau has doubled its size in 30 years.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. And conquering land from the sea.
Reclaimed land.
Because there's no other way to, to expand.
And it's a huge problem, because they really don't know where to build.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can go up, but only so much.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, about the animals, there's very prosaic answer. When I lived in Macau, as actually the character says, there were no dogs in Macau because there were restaurants for dog meats.
Ah, yes.
And actually, my dog was eaten when I was a child.
Oh, dear.
So it was traumatizing for him.
It was very traumatizing. And when we got to Macau, we went to Macau three times over a period of 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we were going to Macau and back to Lisbon.
We were 6 months over a period of 2.5 years.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. That was a long time ago. Anyway, and I kept telling Jean-Pierre, wow, it's incredible. There's so many dogs in Macau.
Yeah.
And I was saying this every day, almost every hour, because there are a lot of stray dogs in Macau now. So suddenly, about the dogs, I mean, we felt the need to include those stray dogs in the film.
Absolute presence in the film, yeah.
And the birds, well, you can talk about it.
Before studying film, I studied biology.
Ah.
I wanted to be an ornithologist.
Okay.
So every time I saw a bird, I was filming it. Yeah. So. And my next film is called The Ornithologist.
Aha!
So this is like a pretty...
But then if you think about it, the Chinese zodiac, it's all animals. Mm. And there's this beautiful
legend about the zodiac.
Mm. About the zodiac. So telling, animals. Yeah.
You can perhaps tell it a little bit short. Can I?
Yeah. Well.
Like there's like Buddha called all the animals for a meeting. Meeting, and just these few that are the twelve zodiac. Are the ones that came
that answered the Buddha,
and so that's why these animals were picked.
Mm. Mm.
So I mean, animals play such an important role in Chinese.
Culture.
Yeah, mm, culture. Mm. Like every day, actually. Yeah.
Even if they eat most of them.
Yes.
That Chinese cuisine is amazing. And so those dogs that are in the film, were they just stray dogs that you filmed on the street? No trained dogs?
No, nothing. I mean, amazing. Nothing. Actually, nothing in the film, except for the guys carrying the cages,
yep,
which is Jean-Pierre and I, because this film was actually shot with a crew of five people maximum, if it was a good day.
My goodness.
That means we had a translator. So it was basically Jean-Pierre and I doing the camera and photography.
Yep.
And then we had a guy for the sound.
Yep.
And we had an assistant that would be like...
Director assistant, also production.
Yep. Production manager. Yep. She would do a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So not four. And then we had a translator sometimes.
Right.
So, I mean, all the characters are played by us, and everyone you see in the film, except for the woman playing that game with the wooden animals,
right?
With the zodiac,
yes.
With the zodiac,
yes.
And of course, Candy.
Yep.
Everything we just shot in the street. I mean,
yeah.
Those people don't even know they are in the film.
Wow.
It was a question of montage.
Yeah,
really,
it's really a wonderful glimpse into a city. We've got to wrap it up, unfortunately. I've been talking to the two directors of The Last Time I Saw Macau, João Pedro Rodrigues and João Rui Guerra da Mata. And The Last Time I Saw Macau is on the 4th of August, that's Sunday.
That's fun.
Yep, yeah. 9 p.m. at the Greater Union as part of the Melbourne International Film Festival. So will you be at that screening?
We will.
Excellent. So you can meet these two wonderful men who both have extremely sexy glasses. I am, as a glasses wearer myself, I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for coming to Joy today. And best of luck with promoting the film in America.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting us.
We're waiting for you.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
You are on Joy 94.9, Australia's first lesbian and gay radio station.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.